Ozzie Guillen.
That's a White Sox baseball.
White Sox pre and post analyst for NBC Sports Chicago.
La Pantera. My main is La Pantera. La Pantera. La Pantera. No. Pantera.
La Pantera.
There we go.
2000 World Series winning manager for the White Sox.
Tying run at second, two out. Palmeiro over the head of Jenks. Uribe charges, throws, out! And the White Sox have won the World Series. Juan Uribe with a play, charging it, throwing it, and the White Sox celebrate their first title in 88 years.
No hold bar baseball opinion.
You got to hear here's the truth. A fact, funny, sad, upset, whatever it is. There's nothing, we're not going to lie. We're not going to try to win rating about talking about the ball club. And hey, but what it is they like it, they do it. They don't like it, play better.
Ozzie Guillen with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Win, The Score. Ozzie is brought to you by Four Winds Resort and Casino. Four Winds Casinos in New Buffalo and South Bend, your entertainment escape. And Ozzy joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Good morning, Ozzy. How are you, buddy?
Hey, guys, we're missing you. What's going on? How you doing?
Hey, Oz.
Oh, man, I got to tell you. You know, as a lifelong Sox fan, I have watched this season unfold, and it feels like it's, you know, there's no way around the fact that this is going to be the worst season in MLB history. It just is what happened. But you go back and you look at this thing, like, how did it get this bad? How did you go from thinking that they had a team that could win, then hiring Tony, you had a good year, then you fall off the ledge, you're a 500 team, then you become a 100-game loser, and now you're the worst team ever. And I mean, you know, how much does a manager matter in terms of the talent that you have that ends up either playing all over baseball for other teams, their pitching staff, or guys like Abreu and Tim Anderson out of baseball completely, Yoan Moncada nowhere to be found, and you know, a guy like Aloy, you get rid of. How did this happen? How did this unfold in front of us?
I think to me, I tried to think about that a little while ago. Everything started in Oakland when we faced the A's for the playoff. I don't know, it was a one-way playoff. And we start with no guy, then we bring Crochet. And start right there.
Ozzie, hold on one second. Hold on, buddy. We're going to reestablish contact because we got a bad phone line, sadly. But, David.
That's a White Sox existential crisis question.
Is that too much? Is that too
that's
much?
That's a lot.
I got to tell you.
It's a lot. What time is it?
We talked to Steve Stone yesterday, and I said to him, this happened fast.
Mully,
oh, no, it didn't.
That's a seminar, not a segment.
Okay, I'm sorry.
No, I'm just saying.
I'm sorry. What do you want to talk about? You want to talk
about? No, I know, but it's a
whatever
this is. I want to know what Ozzie's answer is.
All right,
what his answer is, because it's a very difficult thing to summarize because of the way that everything has fallen apart.
It's fallen apart.
Yeah,
and David, you know, the other element of it is, like, do we really want to pick apart who's moving around in the minor leagues? Because that's what the only news that the White Sox have. And I know if you follow that sort of thing, you find it interesting. But I can't think about the future right now because I'm too stuck in the past. Ozzie's back. Hey, Oz.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Oh, we got you.
That's better.
We're all set.
Much better, Oz.
Yeah. Can you answer that question? David said it was too existential a question, too big a why are we here?
I think everything started with Renteria when he lost a game in Oakland, I believe, and everything started going south. They bring Tony. I think they have a good ball club, but you know, right there, in that moment, we really thought the White Sox were going the right way in the right direction. I think they have the players are, you know, I mean, it was a talented ball club. Then they bring up. And the paper, one of the best bullpen in baseball. You can, you know, you see the bullpen when they got there. But I say, yes, manager matter. Of course they do. If whoever not believe in that, then why you hire a manager? You know what I mean? Everybody say, oh, manager's not, they no matter. Of course it is, because it's not. They know we will hire anyone. You know, when you win, I say, oh my God, this guy's good. But when you lose, you're a bad manager. That's part of the game. That's just the way he is. You know what's hard, guys? Win World Series. You know what's harder? Win 200 games back-to-back season.
Yeah.
And when you do that, you say, well, you know what I mean? We're going through a lot of tough time right now, but our futures is very, very, very good. Hopefully those guys in trade, they're in the minor league right now, they come out and get good, better, quicker to head this ball club, because I think the future is pretty bright. You know what I mean? On papers, it's pretty bright. But we have to wait for those guys and see how they're going to play, how they're going to develop. A lot of guys there, a good prospect. They're still a kid. I don't think they're going to help the White Sox right in the next 2 years. And we see what happens. You know, they got a tough time to, you know, I mean, figure out organization. I think right now the steps is trade one by one. They did it. Hopefully the players they got back work out for them in the future.
So, Ozzy, Javi Baez is in town with the Tigers, and he got a reception last night at Wrigley Field, you would expect, full with the video montage and the tribute and all of that. He's really struggling. He's hitting 185. He's fallen off a cliff, his career has. Tim Anderson had kind of experienced the same thing. A couple years ago, the debate in Chicago was who was the better shortstop. How does it happen that guys that accomplished can fall off a cliff that quickly and their career be seemingly over that soon?
Well, this is going to show you how hard baseball is. This is not about play good 1 year. It's a every year thing. Long time. It's a long season. They mentally prepare yourself. I think when you pull your standings, high people expect that to go out there. But I see him swing. I even know anybody talked to him about it. I talked to Miguel Carrera when he was with the Tigers. I asked about him because this kid, to me, he was the most impressive player she played back in that day. So, man, that guy can do so many things. He's an IQ, baseball IQ, so high, very smart player. But if either one, he's just like, I see him missing ball. Like, I asked Miguel, is this guy, he have eyes problem or he not care? You see the swing, you know, the way he miss balls.
Right.
He's like, my God, I think he's not care. Does anybody say anything to him? And Cabrera told me, no, nobody say anything to him. I tried to talk to him about it. He's a good listener. But when he goes to the plate, I think his guess outside. I think the choice. I remember one day I say, he's a Puerto Rican Adam Dunn. So much. This guy got so much talent. So much talent. Unfortunately, the talent going down south very quick.
Wow, that's something else. I don't argue with you, but that's not a compliment.
We remember what Adam Dunn did to you.
Oh, my God. I told you.
Adam Dunn, he's just, oh, my God. He's just like, let me tell you something he told me one day. He's in the spring training, and Greg Walker comes to you, what problem? What? I said, you okay? Well, you know, what's going on? I said, don't worry about me, Ozzy. I got to hit 75 balls good. 75 balls good. Doubles or 40 home run, 35 doubles or 35 home run. I mean, I said, like, oh, I'll take that. When the season's over, I grab him. I say, you owe me. You only hit 25 balls good. But a great guy to have, man. Great teammate, great guy to be around. But unfortunately, that was a very, very, you know what I mean? For me, that tonight, he had pretty good. He played better. But in that particular year, I never see anybody. Well, yes, I did. I see Jimenez. I see Pantera. I struggled the way he was. And we no reason, but those guys, he has so much talent. But yes. I remember me a little bit about Adam Dunn. And I called him a long time ago, the Puerto Rican Adam Dunn, because he's just swinging at me. And I think that's not his game, because this man, he can run. Yeah, I think he can play. To me, he was the most excited player.
Yeah.
We see back in the day. I think I don't want to compare him with Bobby Witt. for Kansas City Royals, but he can do so many things. You see him running the bases, slide the run, you know what I mean, opposite way, tag the guy in second base, make the play. To me, I say that, I think that's I was working with ESPN. I say, to me, that's the most excited player on the field. All of a sudden, he's gone. He signed the contract, and he disappeared.
You know, we were talking about that with that Cubs team. You know, he comes back, and there he is hugging Kyle Hendricks. And you think about them winning the World Series and just how amazing it was to kind of witness that. And all those guys that kind of disappeared from that team. And it makes you wonder, you know, Bryant is the same way. We haven't seen him do anything. He's kind of a shadow of what he was. Same thing with Baez. You know, we talked about Addison Russell and his issues and out of baseball. How much, you know, how did Joe Maddon, working with a young team, he seemed to help those guys. It seemed like they had someone there. It seemed like Baez fed off the energy of the crowd and kind of, as you say, incredibly exciting player. And now, you know, he waved at the ball. He struck out four times last. It was like Adam Dunn. It was just you felt the inevitability of another strikeout when he got to bat.
Well, yes, there's no doubt about it. Just like, you know, I was talking to somebody at NBC, and the guy told me, big time conference, maybe Javi need more people at the ballpark. But I said, I saw him strike out a couple of times. I said, well, we got people in the ballpark. It still swing like that. But, you know, I mean, be honest, I don't know how. It's a lot of great players went down quick. A lot of great players. Yeah. You know what I mean? You look at the ballpark, ball club, it's just, I don't know what the reason is. I wish I have the answer for that. But they were, at least, you know, they come, they do something very special here in Chicago, win the World Series for the Cubs. And I think that's why I say Joe Maddon, one of the best manager I compete against. Baseball, I can say that. Baseball IQ, the man is old school with the new school. You got so many 10 of him. He's just one of the guys I admire the most with the uniform compete against me in a, you know, daily basis. This man is just, that man should be with a uniform on in the dugout helping organization to win games.
Save the date, Monday, September 30th, for a special fundraising event benefiting Rincon Family Services. Ozzie Guillen will be part of the event to raise funds for mental health, bringing awareness, and inspiring others at Cog Hill Golf and Country Club. Find it at og13.org/golf. Ozzie, when we talk about players declining quickly, I think that every Sox fan's worst fear, or maybe there are other fears, but this is close, is Luis Robert on a similar path? He's had a terrible year. After last year, there was so much hope in Luis Robert. You still see the talent in glimpses. What's wrong with him, and can he be fixed?
Well, he needs somebody to go and kick his butt. Believe me. Yes, he does. He don't need babysitting no more. That's when you see this kid play a couple of days ago in Houston, you're like, there we go. He's healthy. That's a good thing about it. But I think, you know what I mean, I hope Gilly, the new hitting coach there, help him. Like, begin mental thing, because the way you see him swing, some people say, like, he said that in the interview, say, but some people think I don't care. But that's the way he is. He strike out, hey, whatever it is. But this guy is wasting his talent so quickly. But I think the talent is still there. It's a matter of time. Maybe it's a winning ball club around him, something to push him harder. He needs to be, because it's a shame he had the type of year he had this year. I'm not talking about strikeout, talking about, you know, you're going to have a bad year, but you're going to have a bad year overall, like big time bad year. And hopefully, but I believe, and I have to want to believe, I love to believe this is a 1 year, he just got a bad year. I think this kid is, his talent is too good to have another type of year like that. And I expect him to bounce back in this year and play the way he should be playing.
We got to tell all Chicago baseball fans, especially Sox fans, come out to the Four Winds Casino in New Buffalo tomorrow from 4 to 5:30 for an appearance with Ozzie and 670 The Score. Ozzie Guillen will be doing a meet and greet in the sportsbook area and mingling poolside. So be ready to talk baseball. That sounds like a ton of fun. Ozzie, we were asking a question yesterday. This is where we're at with the White Sox. Can you think of a player, any position player currently on the team, any kind of pitcher, there's some young pitching, that you believe is going to be a part of their future? Who are you keeping an eye on off this current group of position players and pitchers?
Wow, I didn't really like that. Jonathan Cano is the one. I have a lot of faith on him. He got good stuff, command very well, both sides of the plate, great changeup. But one thing you cannot teach, confidence. He got a lot of confidence. You know, his stuff is good. And I think you can rebuild that with Crochet. Hopefully Crochet's here. And I think he's a good Bowen. I'm not going to go too crazy about him.
Mm-hmm.
I think he got great tools. But I think he's swinging kind of like me early in his career. You know what I mean? Wild. You know what I mean? Swing everything. But you can see the tools out there. It's a one kid I really, really try to see him improve himself. I think with the new hitting coach out there, with Gilly, I think he can make things, a lot of good things happen. But I still see him a little bit behind right now. But I think this kid he can be a pretty good. He just leave it in a second base. What position you going to play in the big league? Shortstop, leave him there. What position you going to play in the big league? Second base, leave him there to see what it can be for that guy. But those two kids, I think that's a good thing for the White Sox.
Ozzie, Grady Sizemore has a little over a month left to make a case that he can be an effective major league manager. If you were to give him advice, if the Sox asked you to talk to Grady Sizemore and says, okay, this is what you need to do over the final month to make a strong impression, what would it be?
Continue to push those guys the way he is. And the one thing I love about Sizemore, talk to the media. Honest, quick, and don't go out there and think we're stupid. And I think, you know what I mean, I'm not going to say he's going to be a great manager. I don't think nobody's a good manager. But I think the players go out there and they're going to compete for him. Now when we got everything together, we have a better idea. I'm not going to say he should be the manager next year for the White Sox, because it's not my job to pick the managers. But I wish him the best, because he take a team. Nobody who's a manager in the ball club is going to be good. And to have the guts to go out there and try to get better and make this ball club better, that going to be then hopefully do it. But I say, listen, just keep pushing. Keep doing what you're doing. And don't believe in any players. Don't. They're not your friends. They're not. When you get fired, they forget about you. And when they fire, they even call you. When you get fired, they forget about you. Then just do your job. Do what you think is the best for the ball club and for you, and continue to do it. Because in the end of the day, when you're winning, you're a hero. When you're losing, you're a zero. And people forgot about you in a hurry. But I like the way he handled himself, the media, with his players. And I think grab a good group of coaches. Start for a spring training and believe in yourself you can do this.
All right, now it's time for Ozzie's Outlook. It's brought to you by Four Winds Casinos in New Buffalo and South Bend, your entertainment escape. Ozzie, how do you see the Cubs going today against Javi and the Detroit Tigers? And what do you think of the White Sox later today going against the Giants again?
Well, they're going to start against, you know, they're going to play against a good pitching.
Mm.
Is Crochet going to give me more than four innings? I will say I'll go Crochet, but Crochet going to give me two, three innings. After that, the bullpen got to come loaded. I will pick the Giants, and I will pick the Cubs today.
Okay. Great stuff,
Great
Oz.
Great stuff, Ozzie. Always fun to talk to you. Appreciate
I love
it.
You guys.
Thanks,
You're
Oz.
The best.
He is the best.
He is. I love Ozzie.
Really good stuff.
Yeah.
Really great insight. Looking forward to that continuing. Him and Chuck have that chemistry that you just want to see continue wherever we are watching them.
I want them to once again talk about Pantera, to pronounce the name and yell it and feel good about it. And it just hasn't happened.
I'm not growling for you.
We got to get back to some.
Yes,
some
Rick Spielman.
Stuff. Yeah, Rick Spielman said something I think is very interesting about what has been revealed thus far about Caleb Williams and what that means for their next opponent. Of course, not Kansas City tomorrow night, but season opener against Houston Let's take a listen to that next. It's Mully and Haw on The Score.
Once he got in rhythm and he figured out, hey, this is just ball, something I've done my whole life. He has, out of any of these guys, and I think all these rookies have played very well in the preseason, better than any rookie class I can remember playing so well in the preseason. But he just has a unique ability to make off-schedule type throws. Now, first week of the season, I imagine whatever defensive coordinator is going to face him, they're going to want to keep him in the pocket and make him become a pocket passer, because if you don't, this guy is going to light it up the scoreboard by his ability to make all these off-schedule and unique plays that a lot of quarterbacks, except maybe a Patrick Mahomes, can't make that Caleb can.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. That is friend of the program, our guy, Rick Spielman. And interesting to hear him talking on the With the First Pick podcast. That's his podcast. It's curious the way he breaks him down. I love the Mahomes comparison and the off-schedule plays, etc. But it makes me wonder, David, because we have seen Caleb roll out and hit passes at all levels, which is an incredible skill, roll to his left and be able to throw a pass as he did down the field. Is that revealed? Has he revealed something? And is Rick right? Make him a pocket passer. Whatever you do, don't let him start moving around, because he's so good at it.
Well, I think that's a fair observation by Rick Spielman to make, but I also don't think it's a big enough sample size to overreact to. That's exactly what you want to do. You want to keep him in the pocket. Chances are, Caleb Williams can be just as deadly and accurate in the pocket as he can be on the move. So maybe you have to pick your poison. But I also think that we've only seen 43 snaps. And what have we seen? Okay, yes, Caleb Williams is very accurate on the move, whether he's going right and hitting Cole Kmet or whether he's going left and creating an explosive play 45 yards down the field with Rome Odunze. My sense would be that if you have a clean pocket and he's taking a seven-step drop and there's Keenan Allen down the middle or DJ Moore on the hash, he's going to hit him just in stride as easily as he did on the move. So does he remind you of somebody like Mahomes? Well, the evidence that we have, the scant evidence that we have so far, yeah, it's very Mahomes-like. But my sense would be that when he stays in the pocket and steps up to throw down the field, he's going to say, oh, you know, that's very much like Andrew Luck. Oh, well, look at him spin out of danger and then hit. That's kind of Aaron Rodgers-ish. Oh, that one reminds me of Joe Burrow. He's going to remind you at different times, I think, of different great quarterbacks, because he's on his way to becoming one.
If you were defending him, how would you do so? I mean, listen, period, end of story.
Pressure, pressure, pressure.
That's the answer.
Pressure, pressure,
that's
pressure.
That's the answer.
Just that's the way you answer. Have to defend any great quarterback.
Yeah.
Any
young quarterback, David.
Young quarterback. That's the better way to describe it. You want to come after him with a variety of looks to try to confuse him. He processes things too quickly. So you want to try to confuse the offensive line as much as you can to the quarterback. The quarterback is your sixth offensive lineman, essentially, because he's got to call things out and he can help protect himself. What you want to do is limit his ability to do that by disguising coverages, by mixing in fronts and trying to confuse him and slow him down. He's already slowed the game down, it seems. The more you can speed that up in his head, the better off you're going to be defensively, even though good luck with that, because we have seen him now. This is what Rick's talking about. When he escapes the pocket, when he's on the move, he's dangerous.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess when we start talking about the season opener, when we get there, I think this is a nice cut to kind of remind us of what he's capable of doing and how you have to defend him. That team that they're playing, Houston, can pressure a quarterback. They've got edge rushers. They can come after you a little bit. You've got to protect this guy.
So both the first two opponents, they do, the Texans and the Titans, they can come after you in a variety of ways. I think that's what I like about, again, it's such a – this is why I wish they would play. I do wish they would play the starters against the Chiefs. I know they're not going to.
No.
And it doesn't really matter. But what I have seen so far from Shane Waldron's offense is that when they do the move the pocket, when they run these bootlegs in misdirection, it is a good way to get a quarterback who's good on the move And you definitely help your offensive line, which you're worried about. Let's face it, the biggest concerns about the Bears going into week one isn't the quarterback. It's the offensive line. It's the defensive line. The ability to stop the run and get to the quarterback and the ability to protect the quarterback and establish a running game. I'm not worried about Caleb Williams. I'm worried about the right guard. I'm worried about the left tackle. I'm worried about the things that you can control as an offensive coordinator by moving the pocket and running misdirection. So that's what I like so far about this offense. But you're right. Eventually, defenses will counter. But it's still a tried and true scheme. So I like the evidence. I like the scheme of what we've seen of it so far.
I like the fact that there's a threat from the quarterback to the point where you could come out. We haven't seen the running game yet. It would be very interesting to me to get to this season opener and see if they can do some power running. They can do some things in the running game. They can get the quarterback, not taking away aggressiveness, but kind of in time, on time a little bit, roll the chains a little bit, and open up the kind of passing game that we've talked about.
I think that's a good goal to have. I wonder if the passing game that we have talked about is going to be, if not by design, just because of the talent you have, more explosive than maybe they anticipate it being.
Yeah.
You may have an idea that you're going to be what you kind of described as a West Coast offense approach.
Yes.
So you're taking your quick slants, you're getting your safe passes, you're incorporating the tight end, and you're using safe passes, extended handoffs, and doing what Dave Wansett has described that they did with Brett Favre with Mike Holmgren and Tom Brady with Bill Belichick. Maybe that is the way Caleb Williams becomes established as an NFL quarterback. On the other hand, he could just go down the field and take his chances.
Yeah, and
if he's successful, how do you harness that?
Well, I don't think there's any way you can't take four or five shots, maybe a half. Okay, yeah. I don't know. Just with a guy that has that arm ability. And can hit all levels and has had the success he's had.
The arm talent's intoxicating.
It's incredible.
It really is. Bears training camp coverage on the score presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
312-644-6767. Always fun to get an opinion from our guy, Don. Don's on the west side. Hey, Don.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Yeah, I just wanted to say, man, y'all was gone for a minute. Last time somebody went on hiatus, we lost Parkins. Y'all not going away, so. But no, with the Caleb Williams thing, man, I just think that, the guy's confident, man. Like, I don't see a way that he could fail being as confident. Well, of course, we can always fail, but the thing is, he'll learn from it. His confidence is just big values to me as far as, like, going out there on the field and competing, even like he reassured you with the saying in the beginning. Well, not the saying, but the statement he made in the beginning of Hard Knocks last night. So, you know, I think that it's going to boil down to how well we protect him, the play calling, defensive line. You know, I'm just basically just spilling out stuff that you guys already said because, you know, I've been waiting, so it's like I don't have nothing to say. So I'm
going
to get off you guys'
airways.
Don, we love talking to you. Keep in touch. It's a signal that the football season is starting.
Yeah, when Don starts calling to talk about the offense and the quarterback, it's good because he's a very informed, insightful caller. I think he also speaks to the impact that Hard Knocks slowly is having on the Bears fan base.
Sure.
It is a positive overall experience so far. We're three episodes in, and yeah, you can pick this or that, and yeah, people in the business can say that it's not as exciting as they want. Yeah, we can talk about the profanity, all the things, or the lack of it.
There was a profane word.
But what it has done to, I think, improve Caleb Williams' stature, his standing, his reputation, he's likable, he's relatable. And that's easier to see the more you see of him on Hard Knocks. And why is that important? It's because we spent almost 6 months debating the character of a kid unfairly,
yes,
because of unfounded reports and inaccurate kind of suggestions. So this has been good for everybody so far.
It's hard to believe that there were people afraid of this, right? I mean, when you stop and you think about it, the other thing that Rick Spielman said that I want to get your opinion on is he said that this rookie class looks really good all the way around. Wow. Now, we haven't seen Penix yet, but certainly in Denver, they feel like they got their guy. I saw, you know, there was some braggadocio from Sean Payton.
Of course.
Because
he's right.
He had kind of, he had fooled Oakland into letting the kid drop to them, you know, that sort of thing.
You know, Brandon Fryer made a great point during the break. This is kind of the COVID class of quarterbacks. This is a lot of extra year or extra maturity in college.
So true.
Bo Nix is older than your average NFL rookie, correct? Mm. So he comes in pretty seasoned and weathered. You look at Jaden Daniels. He went from Arizona State to LSU, won the Heisman Trophy. He comes to Washington a little more mature than your average rookie. Now he's got the keys to the car. Drake May is pretty stable. He was at North Carolina for his entire career, but I think that he's a guy that is pretty – I think you put him in a position of leadership and you see why people trust him. Caleb Williams, well, what we have seen speaks for itself. There are a lot of reasons why you trust somebody who has been through all that he has been through. Moving around, the spotlight's not going to seem too big for him.
And you know, Penix is an older player.
Same deal.
Yes.
He's 25, right?
Yep. Transfer player, you know, obviously incredible career when you look at it, and you know, Caleb himself starts at Oklahoma, follows his coach to USC.
Battle tested. Yes. I think those are the kind of things you look for in a quarterback. Now, the anomaly to that, or the exception to that rule, has been J.J. McCarthy, who looks like more of a developmental project for the Vikings. Now he's got the injury that will make this a redshirt season, but this batch of rookie quarterbacks looks promising, and at least four of them, you think, will get opportunities to be the starter earlier in the season. Three of them week one, maybe Drake May takes that job from Jacoby Brissett, and you have four week one rookie starters.
From what you've seen, who would you take among the four quarterbacks, or let's call it five quarterbacks, because JJ is one of them. Who would you take if you could pick one starter off any of the teams in the NFC North?
So you mean in terms of the rookie quarterbacks?
No, any quarterback.
In the NFC North?
You want Goff?
For the next 3 to 5 years, who is your quarterback in the NFC North? I'm taking Caleb Williams.
Okay.
I am taking Caleb Williams. I have seen enough in this preseason, as absurd as it might sound. Yes, Jordan Love has the second half of last season to point to. Yes, Jared Goff has all that he has, and he's taken a team to the Super Bowl. So I understand how ridiculous this sounds. But I would take Caleb Williams if I'm making an investment over the next 3 to 5 years as my quarterback on my team.
That's insane.
I know.
Because I think, honestly.
But I didn't think about the answer. I just reacted.
And I like that reaction, and I kind of felt that was going to happen. I'd have to take Jordan Love based on just the fact that he's ready to go right now.
To greatness when I see Caleb Williams speak and do things and throw and move. And I think we're
looking at life through a straw if we're not going to take Jordan Love based on what he did last year.
Yeah.
He won in the playoffs.
Yeah. Well, I'm taking that straw out of a drink that is half full.
I love it.
And I might be half full of it, but I'm taking Caleb Williams.
Well, we're going to bring in Tris Chelios next. We're going to talk to Chelly. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Tris Chelios. Up the boards to Chelios with room. He shoots. Score! BetMGM ambassador. The king of sportsbooks.
Nice play by Tris Chelios.
Hockey Hall of Famer.
Tris Chelios is not human. I'm convinced of it. Not only will he go in the Hall of Fame, I think he should go in the Smithsonian.
Blackhawks legend.
Chelios will add defense, but he'll also add offense to the Hawks.
Steve Smith ahead to Murphy. Nichols at the line. Chelios moving in.
Three-time Stanley Cup champion.
What a competitor Tris Chelios has been over the years, and he's been a winner every place he's ever been.
Tris Chelios with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Joining us now is BetMGM Ambassador Chris Chelios. BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. And Chelly joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Chris, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Doing well.
Yeah, I was thinking Javi Baez came back to play against the Cubs for the first time since he left last night, and it didn't go well. But he was celebrated and cheered, and I just it made me wonder, what is that like, Chris? You've done that at a couple different places, right? You've won a Stanley Cup in Montreal and then gone back and played there. You've won a Stanley Cup in Detroit and then gone back to Chicago. Now, Javi didn't win anything other than the World Series when he was here. What's it like going back someplace that you have nothing but fond memories for and getting cheered or booed in some cases by the fans?
Well, my welcome back to Chicago when I got traded to Detroit didn't go so well. I think it got to the point Scotty Bowman after the second period told me just to take my stuff off and go drink with MJ up in the suite because I was keeping the crowd in it. So no, I got booed the minute I stepped on the ice, and quite honestly, it was disheartening because I was from Chicago and I'd played the 8 years there, but I get it. You know, the rivalry between Detroit and Chicago. Montreal wasn't as bad. My first game back, the people there were, I got booed, but nothing like when JR came back. They cheered him. I'm like, what did I do different than JR other than go to Detroit? But, you know, I watched the game last night. Yeah, I watched the game last night. And Baez, although he didn't, you know, produce, he was a good team guy, and the players liked him. I watched him when he struck out at the end of the game. That was the end of the game last night. But, yeah, it's a weird feeling, and I just wanted to get out of there, quite honestly. Usually you're happy to go home, but I wasn't.
So, Chelly, I think the hockey community in Chicago and Blackhawk fans went through this when Connor Bedard came to town and everything he did was magnified and his effect on the team and every player was obvious. Caleb Williams is the Bears quarterback, and I think he's going through a similar type of an experience in terms of the impact he has. When you watch him play, when you hear him talk, what goes through your mind and do you see comparisons?
Well, he's got that swagger. He's got the skill. You know, and then to come out like he did, it's only exhibition games, but he played two of them and looked really good. And he, you know, just makes players around him better. He seems like he'll be a natural born leader. He carries himself well with the media, somewhat like Connor also. But again, you got to win and you got to walk the walk. And I think so far up to this point, he's done a tremendous job. There's a lot of pressure on him, you know, after what happened with Fields, and you know, everybody just waiting for, you know, something bad to happen. But so far, it's been great.
Yeah, you know, I got to tell you, we've talked about it, how good it's been. He's sort of debunked every myth, every rumor, every negative feeling when he came out of college. Oh, he doesn't, you know, he's demanding a piece of ownership. He doesn't want to play in Chicago. He's been phenomenal. It's been exactly the opposite. You know, I don't know how there was so much misinformation about who the guy is and what kind of teammate he is and how he treats people, how he learns. That's been another thing that we've kind of been studying and seeing him as a player, how natural he is. I know there's adversity because it's pro sports, and I understand how difficult that position is, but it's also one of these things where it's almost too good to be true. It's like as a native Chicagoan, you look at it and you think like, holy mother of God, like this could be really something special.
Yeah. I mean, from what I hear, people that work inside the organization, staff and management, and from the secretaries to whoever, he's got a way about him. You know, he knows names. He seems like he cares and he pays attention to everything. So, like I said, it just remains, you got to win though, at the end of the day, regardless how nice you are, whatever antics and whatever's written about them, you got to win. That's for sure. There's a lot of pressure and it's still only exhibition, but again, better to be up 3-0 than down 0-3 and people scrutinizing them.
Chelly, one thing he said on Hard Knocks last night in exchange with one of his coaches was that he doesn't get nervous before games, before anything. What made you nervous as a player?
I mean, the only thing I think would be playoffs. Obviously, what's at stake in the playoffs. Regular season, there's so many games. Football is a little different because they only have 16 games, 17 games. So, but, I mean, that's going to happen. He's going to have big games. And as long as he doesn't play like he's nervous, then that's fine. But it's pretty tough not to be nervous, you know, especially that first home game. He'll feel a little bit, but I'm sure, like I said, from what I've seen, his composure, if he's one of those guys that could just stand in the pocket and relax and do his thing, God bless him.
Yeah, I mean, it's been fun to see, but again, I do think adversity's out there. We heard from Rick Spielman. He used to be here with the Bears, a general manager around the league, and he was saying that what you've seen from the kid, if you're putting a defense together, you want to keep him from rolling. You got to keep him in the pocket. You want to make him a pocket passer. We suspect he could do that. He seems like an accurate thrower, but when he's on the move and he's throwing accurately, it seems like that would tear any team to shreds.
Yeah, I mean, I just not a comparison because Mahomes has accomplished what he has, but kind of somewhat similar to how his style of play is too. He could do it either way, scramble, or he could stay in the pocket and use that arm of his. So hopefully it'll be the case and they'll turn into the same type of quarterback Mahomes is.
Chelly, got to ask you a hockey question. Patrick Lane goes to the Canadiens. How many goals is he going to score next year?
Who? I'm sorry, who?
Patrick Lane.
Oh, I don't know.
I mean, thought I'd have to throw in a hockey question. That's all right.
I like
That's
the right. zero.
I'm not in hockey mode. We're still a month away from
Love
training
it.
Camp.
Okay.
2 months of regular season. So I'm actually up in Canada now. We're going to play an exhibition game against Max Domi and Marner. That's not going to go very well, I don't think.
Oh. Well, wow. So, that's unbelievable.
Yeah,
have you prepared, or are you just going to throw on the skates and go?
No, I actually did bring my skates, so at least I have that advantage. There'll be like slippers on my feet. But as far as everything else, no, it's going to be a disaster.
Well, find out at least while you're up there why they haven't traded Marner yet.
Yeah, the one thing they did do, you saw, they made Matthews captain. I don't know what effect that's going to have on Tavares. I don't like that move. If they're going to do that, they should, trade Tavares or buy him out. It's not his fault he's making all that money. But, yeah, Marner, it's crazy. But they got a new coach too, right? So maybe a different look for Marner and, Berube's going to be a no-nonsense coach. So if anybody can get to Marner and the rest of these guys who are playing soft, he will.
Chris, you're the best. Thank you, buddy. Great catching up.
Thanks, Chelly.
All right, guys. You bet.
Have fun.
That is Chris Chelios. He's awesome.
It's funny.
Yeah.
I'm not in hockey mode.
He's going to play, though.
He's going to play, but he's not paying attention.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's fun.
Chris is so much fun.
Yeah.
I love the guy. I mean, he's just such a good man. All right, we got Tommy Hotovy next. We're gonna get a chance to talk to the Cubs pitching coach. A lot to talk about. There's been some changes, and we'll get his take on what it means moving forward. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.